Eric Metaxas here. Please join me in a life-saving mission to set Sudanese slaves free through Christian Solidarity International. Since 1995, CSI has freed more than 100,000 women and children from years of bondage and abuse. Your $250 gift frees, feeds, and heals these captives and sets them on a path to a new life in freedom. Please help us free another slave now. Call 888-253-3522, 888-253-3522, or click the CSI banner at MetaxasTalk.com, MetaxasTalk.com. Hey there, folks. Welcome to the week. The weekend is over, but there's always, I just find, almost always, there's another weekend coming up eventually. Alvin, do you find that as well, or is that just me?
I find that as well. And by the way, I'm back from Kitty Hawk. I left my twin brother behind, and I'm by myself, solo, flying solo.
How do I know you're not your twin brother? You look very similar.
I do. Very handsome. Yes, thank you.
Okay, now look, we've got, this today is insane. We have coming up in this segment, actually, in a couple, in 3 minutes, 4 minutes, Michelle Bachmann. She is now Dean Bachmann. She's the dean at Regent University down in Virginia Beach. I'm participating in a conference with her tomorrow on election integrity. We're going to have her on to talk about that, to talk about the HR1 bill and whatever. She's an amazing woman. I have to say, I've gotten to know her and her faith is profound. I didn't know that about her. She's a woman, amazing faith. And also somebody who can talk about where we are politically. After her, in this hour, Mike Lindell is my guest. We are talking about everything, including the election, including stuff. You won't believe it. I happen to know in advance what the subjects are. We're going to be discussing Mike Lindell. Believe me when I tell you, you don't want to miss it. Share it with everyone you know. Alvin, I got to tell you about something insane that happened to me yesterday.
Okay, let's hear it.
Can I tell you?
Yes, please.
I was actually, before I say that, I want to remind people we're doing a fundraiser with Food for the Poor. We're close to hitting our goal. We're really way behind. I don't know why. It's been a crazy season, but we're asking everyone who listens to the program to do your part, whatever it is. We don't care. Just go to MetaxasTalk.com, MetaxasTalk.com, click on the banner and give what you can. The number is 844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE. Please do what you can, 844-863-HOPE. These folks are depending on us, please. Okay, Alvin, before we bring Michelle Bachmann on, I know she's waiting in the wings, so she'll be on in a couple of seconds. But I got to tell you, yesterday, I was with my parents up in Danbury this weekend. Suzanne and I went up there, and I'm editing my book, my next book. Fish Out of Water is this book. The next book is called Is Atheism Dead? So now I'm editing that, and it's a lot of work. But while I was in Danbury, I said, I got to get back. I got to start exercising again, because while I was writing Is Atheism Dead, I haven't allowed myself to do anything except finish it, because it was very late and it's embarrassing. And so yesterday I went for a run in Danbury. And so I'm running, you know, in my neck of the woods where I grew up. And I'm thinking, it's so weird, because the night before we had dinner at my friend Dino Kalitzis's. Dino Kalitzis is a friend. We've been friends since I was nine, since we moved to Danbury in 1972. We've known each other all these years. He's in my book, Fish Out of Water. And so I sent him a copy of the book. He's reading about himself in the book. We went up to his restaurant in New Milford. It's called Greca, G-R-E-C-A. The best Greek food Suzanne and I have ever had. The best. Greca, New Milford, Connecticut. So I'm talking to Dino, whatever. So yesterday I decided to go for a run. And I end up near a place, it's called hisvineyard.com. And I'm thinking, that's a Christian thing. What is that? And I've driven past there a couple of times. So I'm jogging, I'm sweating. I run in there. The pastors were just locking up the church. And one of them said, oh my gosh, Eric Metaxas, what are you doing here? It was the weirdest, craziest thing. I'm dripping. I'm standing there. And this woman says, I watch the program every day. I can't believe it. What are you doing here in our parking lot? It was the craziest thing. They gave me some bagels. I had to jog home with a bag of bagels. It was very embarrassing, but I don't care anymore. And I said, I'm going to do a speaking engagement at his vineyard. It's in Bethel, Connecticut. It's right on the border of Danbury, Connecticut. But I literally jogged there. It was one of those divine appointments. It was totally, totally nuts. But we're going to put, I'm going to be in Dallas this weekend. I'm traveling around the country. We're going to put all this stuff on my website, ericmetaxas.com. Anyway,
Here comes Michelle.
Okay, is she going to go? Okay, let's bring her in. As promised, my first guest today, her name is Michelle Bachmann. She used to be a congresswoman. Now she is the dean of something, something, something at Regent University, Virginia Beach, Virginia. Dean Bachmann, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. I'm Dean of Robertson School of Government at Regent University in Virginia Beach, Virginia. We're right on the ocean.
Robertson School of Government, obviously named after Pat Robertson, who is still with us. My goal is to have a school of something named after me while I'm still able to enjoy it. Okay, there's a conference tomorrow. I want to talk first about election integrity. There's a conference tomorrow at Regent. It's going to be online. I am opening in prayer. You've given me that privilege, and I am one of the last speakers. It's tomorrow at noon, and people can go to regent.edu/election integrity, regent.edu. Let's talk about that first, Dean Bachmann. Election integrity, what prompted you to put this conference together?
Well, actually, we've gone through all the turmoil of the election, the aftermath of the election, the certification, and then the second impeachment trial. And then I read an article that said that Harvard University normally does a roundup of the previous presidential election cycle, but there was no plans for them to do that. And I looked about and I realized in the university academic setting, no one was touching this issue of what happened in the last election. In fact, we were all told to shut up, go into our cage, don't say anything about the election. And I thought the freest place for speech should be either the well of the House of Representatives or the university setting. And what we've seen is just the opposite. You can't say anything on university campuses, except here at Regent. We do believe in religious freedom and freedom of speech. So I asked the higher ups, could we do an election integrity forum where we talk about the 2020 election, where we talk about election integrity going forward? And they said, yes, we'll do that. We're committed to free and fair elections. So this turned into, normally a conference like this, I'm not kidding, would take a year to pull together. This took just a couple of weeks. For instance, I asked you, everyone loves you, Eric. You're known all across the country. People were thrilled to hear that you were going to be on this. But we also have Dr. Ben Carson, who's speaking. This is a very important issue for him. Mark Stein, who is guest host for Tucker Carlson, he's on. But we also have people who have put a lot of work into this, like Dr. Peter Navarro, who was the former trade secretary under President Trump. He wrote a 100-page report, three different parts on the election. He'll be presenting evidence on swing states and the various issues. Also, Professor David Clements. Now, you should know about this fellow, Eric. He is a law professor. He's tried over 160, 170 cases in the courtroom. But he is such a brave person. He was inspired by your book, Bonhoeffer. He read Bonhoeffer. It spoke to him. And as a professor at a law school, he decided that everything that he was reading about the last election and election integrity, he wanted to speak publicly. Now, he's in a public university. The guy doesn't have tenure, but he was so inspired by what he read in your book. And he's also a man of faith, that he decided that he would speak even if it meant losing his job.
You know, I just want to interrupt you to say that, just to be clear, it's the life of Bonhoeffer that's inspiring people, but God gave me the privilege of telling that story. And Bonhoeffer gave his life, and to this day, people are being inspired by what he did, which underscores the idea that when you do something that is brave and true, and you're looking to God in faith, God will use it beyond what you do. He will use it to inspire other people. When I think of the people that have been inspired by the story of Bonhoeffer, in a way, I think that could be the tipping point, that there are people around this country who say, I don't care what the results are. I'm going to do what I know is right. I'm going to do it unto God because he's called me to do that. And it's part of why I'm excited to be part of this conference tomorrow. We're going to go to a break here, but we've got plenty more time with you. I want to hear about HR 1 and the Equality Act. Folks, regent.edu, the conference is tomorrow. It starts at noon. It ends at 6. So all afternoon, regent.edu/election-integrity. Check it out, regent.edu. We'll be back with Dean Michelle Bachman. Don't go away. Snow, cement. Folks, I'm talking to Michelle Bachman. She is now Dean Michelle Bachman at the Regent University Robertson School of Government. Dean Bachman, welcome back. You were just talking about a professor, a brave professor at the law school in New Mexico named David Clement. He's speaking at the conference tomorrow.
He is. He's an untenured faculty member at the law school in New Mexico, but he was inspired by the story that you wrote on Dietrich Bonhoeffer and what he was willing to sacrifice for the truth. And really, this was a godly calling that God put on Professor David Clement's life to go through and read all the affidavits. He read all the cases that have been filed on the November 2020 election. As you know, there have been about 60 cases filed at both the federal level and the state level, and he just did this on his own in his own free time. He read all the affidavits, all of the evidence, everything that was out there. And he started speaking out on what he saw in these cases because they were shut down. No one really got to hear what any of the evidence was. He was willing to do this without tenure because he felt what he found was so important. So Dr. David Clements, a former prosecutor himself, he'll be laying out this evidence at the conference
tomorrow,
what he found out in these affidavits.
Give us, if you don't mind, just because I think we need to hear this, because people aren't saying this. So I ask someone like you, are you of the opinion that there was, in fact, enough malfeasance and corruption that it changed the results of the election? In other words, I hear so much. And I still just want to ask people like you that I trust, is that what it seems like to you? Have you, you know, when you talk to somebody like David Clement, do you get that impression that is the case?
I'm speaking on behalf of myself. I'm not speaking on behalf of Robertson School of Government or Regent University. My own personal opinion, based upon my own study so far and what I have read from Dr. Peter Navarro's report and other individuals, is that yes, I believe that there is enough evidence to show beyond a reasonable doubt that there was malfeasance that was practiced sufficient that it turned the election away from Donald Trump and to Joe Biden. I believe that Donald Trump actually perhaps got more than the nearly 75 million votes that he got. And I believe that Joe Biden got far less.
Mike Lindell, who will actually be on today's program, and I do hope to talk to him about this. Of course, we can't post it on YouTube because they have problems with talking about integrity. That's just their stand. So he makes the claim that in his documentary, he makes the claim that Trump got nearly 80 million votes, that Biden got 68 million votes, which sounds not only plausible, but it sounds right to me. Have you been able to look at that sort of thing and get any sense of what happened?
I have. I've had a number of conversations with Mike offline. You know, we're both from the state of Minnesota. He's a wonderful man. And so we've been in contact and had phone conversations about this. Well, he shared some of his information with me. And I think what we're seeing is that many people, not just one, that's the thing. It isn't just Mike Lindell. It isn't just a Sidney Powell. It isn't just a Professor David Clements or Dr. Peter Navarro or a Ben Carson. It isn't just one person. It is many people who've done various areas of study. And what's phenomenal is that here in the United States of America, we've been told we're not allowed to talk about an election, what happened in an election, what evidence that we have from an election. We're not allowed to talk about it.
Yeah, I just want to interrupt. When people tell you can't talk about it, they have no authority to do that. And when they tell you not to talk about it, shout about it. Be sure when someone tells you not to talk about something that you continue to talk about it, because no one has the authority in this still free country to tell us what we can and cannot say. But that's exactly the message we're getting.
That's the message that we're getting. And what struck me during the whole time of this election, again, I'm a dean of the Graduate School of Government, is this: almost exactly to the day, 400 years earlier, the Pilgrim Fathers and Mothers, 1620 at Plymouth Rock, gave us and gave the world one of the greatest biblical arguments ever. It's the biblical form of government under the Mayflower Compact, and it's this: rule by the consent of the governed, that people voluntarily come together, they decide, they elect who their leader will be and what the laws are that they live under. That seems, we say like, yeah, so? Well, the world didn't know of that kind of government before 400 years ago. That's something that the pilgrims gave us. That's what this is about. That's why this is so important, Eric, because we want to know, will this biblical gift of governance that God gave to us that we've enjoyed for 400 years, is that going to go on or is that over? That's really what this is about. That's what we're going to explore at the conference tomorrow. Will we get to continue this biblical form of governance, or will we now be ruled by a small little group of elites who decide what laws we'll live under and what our lives will look like and what we have to do? That's not America, but that's really what our choice will be. Elites making the decision about our laws and what we're going to do, or us making the decision about what we're going to do. And I think there's sufficient evidence that we can question, was the outcome of that election reflective of what the people's will was in this last election? That's what will be key tomorrow in this conference.
Well, it's astonishing to me that Biden is ostensibly the president and that you have an entire nation unsure whether that's legitimate. That alone is unacceptable. In other words, the idea that we could have such doubt and that you're told to shut up when you express the doubt, we ought not to shut up, as I said. In fact, I argue we have an obligation to speak and speak and speak. We have no reason to allow anyone to silence us. But we in America need to be reminded, I think, because we've had so much freedom for so long, we're not sure how it works. Well, that's part of what I hope happens at the conference tomorrow, is that we give people some sense that they have an obligation to speak. I know that right now the Democrats are trying to ram through the H.R. 1 bill and the Equality Act. Can you say a little bit about that?
Yeah. Well, I think the reason why there's so many distractions in the country right now is because that's exactly what they've been doing. Since the second they certified Joe Biden in as president of the United States, everyone has seen it. They've been forcing one radical program after another. The most radical program is their number one piece of legislation of choice, and it's this. It is to ensure that they institutionalize all the fraudulent tactics that were used in this last election. That's why it's imperative we have this conference tomorrow, so we can finally lay out all of these fraudulent practices that were put in place. That's exactly what the Democrats want to put in power. Why do they want to do that? Well, right now, they're the one power and party. They run the House, they run the Senate, they run the White House. They want to keep it that way. And in order to keep it that way, they want to put bizarre election practices that are against the Constitution of the United States. They want to put that in place because they want outcome-based elections. They want to predetermine who will be in power. And then these few elites will decide the laws that we live under, what our nation looks like. We'll be working for them. They won't be working for us anymore. Make sure that that's clear. We'll be working for them. So what they're going to do is federalize all the elections. So the states are on a mad dash right now to clean up all the messes of this last election. But in this legislation, believe it or not, Eric, they appoint someone in the Civil Rights Division of the Department of Justice to sue any state who tries to put election integrity in place so that you can know that your vote actually is going to count. This is probably the most draconian piece of legislation I've ever seen. And I've seen bad pieces of legislation in Washington. There's nothing like this one. This one changes our country forever, because now we will be at the mercy of elites who will forever be in power. They will never be accountable again. And you can say at that point, then we no longer are ruled by the consent of the governed. We'd be ruled by the consent of the elites. But because we are believers in a God that is bigger than we are, that's why we don't despair. That's why we're lighting a candle. We trust him. And it starts with telling the truth. Tomorrow we tell the truth about what happens. And we, from there, we go forward to say, no, we're not going to put up with HR1. We're not going to put up with the Equality Act, because HR1 is a carrot for the left. It makes them powerful till the end of the time. But the Equality Act is a stick for them to use against people of faith in particular, because this would put out of business. And I'm serious when I say that. It would put out of businesses, Christian ministries, Christian universities, Christian organizations, unless they cave to the radical agenda that the left sets, they're out of business.
And so real quick, 15 seconds, a church would not be able to do what?
A church would have to follow. Well, they wouldn't be able to hire the people of their choice, for instance. Their employment law would be mandated by what Washington, D.C. says to them. So if someone is a professing transgender male who lives with another male or whatever and has whatever practices that are against the church teaching, the church would be required to hire them.
See,
yeah.
Hey, evangelicals for Biden, please take notes. We'll be right back talking to Dean Michelle Bachman. And my time is at hand. Carry on my wayward son. There'll be peace when you are done. Lay your weary head to rest. Hey there, folks. I'm talking to Dean Michelle Bachman at Regent University, Robertson School of Government. Let's pick up on that. You talked about HR1, which is changing our election laws, federalizing them, which is so sickening. Anyone who understands how things are supposed to function understands that what big government is, it's just the federal government squashing real government, which is to say state government, local government, taking authority over them, which it does not have in the Constitution, and really destroying the federalism that's been in place since the beginning. 240 something years ago. It's a complete misunderstanding of what America is. And then the Equality Act you mentioned is a way to force churches, faith-based businesses to operate in a way where, let's put it out there, Michelle, we're talking about, this is the establishment of a religion. It doesn't call itself a religion, but this kind of secular view of sexuality, of the human person, is antithetical to the views of many Americans. And they are saying, shut up, we are going to enforce this view, which is really, it's the enforcement of religious views that claim not to be religious. And it is the establishment of a religion with the power of the government, which is precisely the opposite of what the separation of church and state is supposed to be, the opposite of the wall of separation. It's extraordinary to me that people aren't making the case that I just made, because that's what this is.
Well, it is. And you're right. And it's almost shocking that we're even having this conversation, that it could get this bad to this point. Yeah. Where one political party would change the rules around so much to ensure that they forever stay in power and the other party could never take power again. No more competitive elections, or what you say with the Equality Act, which there were so many incursions by the federal government into the area of faith, into faith-based organizations, into churches. And when that was happening, the Congress, the people, through their elected representatives, passed something called the Religious Freedom Restoration Act to prevent government, to stop government.
So this was under Clinton.
This was under Bill Clinton, and this is a unanimous passage in the United States Senate. I think one senator was gone that day, but the other 99 all voted for this. So this was not a fringe issue. They all voted to protect religious liberty freedoms in 1993. Well, guess what? The Equality Act completely eviscerates that law, eviscerates it. So if you thought that you could appeal for a conscious protection. Let's say you're a doctor, you work in a hospital, and some parent presents their 10-year-old little girl who now says she wants to be a boy, or a little 8-year-old boy who says he wants to be a girl. So you have a perfectly healthy little body, and now you're told to mutilate that body as a doctor. And you, for religious reasons, cannot do that. You would be forced to perform that operation, and the hospital would be forced to provide the facilities for that operation. There's no opt-out anymore. So we lose our rights of religious speech and expression. That's why this is so key. These are two of the most radical pieces of legislation I've ever seen. Both squelch freedom, liberty, the First Amendment rights that we have cherished for years, inalienable rights, life, liberty, the pursuit of freedom. Inalienable rights are being squashed by both of these laws. So that's why we're having this election integrity conference tomorrow. This isn't boring material. These aren't boring presenters. Eric Metaxas is anything but boring. He is the life of the party, every party. So it's going to be Eric Metaxas.
Especially when I pray. Holy cow. Yeah.
Well, it's going to be great. I mean, we've got literally an A-list, all-star cast of people, extremely credible. But here's the other thing. We believe in this so much. We want to push this information into the academy where there should be free speech at the university level. And our law school is taking the transcript of our 6-hour conference tomorrow, and they're turning it into a law review article, because we want to push this into the legal field, into the academy, because we think it's important that the universities open up free speech again and start talking about these issues. We're doing it from a fact base. People aren't going to want to miss this. They'll feel really bad if they do. So it's regent.edu/election integrity. It's a virtual conference. It starts at noon Eastern time tomorrow. It goes until 6 p.m. Eric Metaxas is one of our great speakers. It's free. So please sign up. When we're all finished with this conference, we will cut each of these speakers up into segments, their portion into segments. We'll host it up on the Regent University website. We hope that you'll take these speeches and forward them to everyone that you know, so that people can hear the truth about what happened in 2020. What's the truth about where one political party wants to take us and what they want to take away from us and what we can do about it? It's necessary information. So I hope everyone tunes into regent.edu/election integrity.
And I just want to thank you, Michelle, for leading this, because I'm just astounded. This is kind of the big thing for me. I'm astounded. You and I are talking about Mike Lindell. There are a handful of people speaking out about this.
And Mike has been the loudest voice, and he's paid a horrific price. I think he told me they were going to lose millions at MyPillow because of that. But I believe that people want to support Mike Lindell. They want to support someone who stands up for truth and for our faith, or like this Professor David Clements, who read your book and is inspired by the life of Bonhoeffer to lay his career on the line. That's the kind of people we are.
I'm in awe of this. This is so encouraging. We're out of time. Dean Michelle Bachman, just thrilled to have you. Coming up in a moment, our friend Mike Lindell. God bless you, and see you tomorrow.
Okay, bye-bye.
Hey there, folks. How many years have I been telling you about Relief Factor? What, like 4? The truth is, I know there are millions of people, in fact, some say over 100 million people, struggling with some kind of pain, maybe from exercise, just getting older. That could do it, getting older, which is why I am so impressed with Pete and Seth Talbot. They are on a mission. You rarely see this kind of focus and commitment. Seriously, they recently shared with me that they are doubling down and want to literally double their total number of happy customers in the next year, and I believe they'll do it. So here's the deal. If you're struggling with back, neck, shoulder, hip, or knee pain, even general muscle aches and pains, then I'm suggesting you order their 3-week quick start, still discounted to only $19.95, about a dollar a day, to see if we can get you out of pain too. And then after that, less than the cost of a cup of coffee a day to stay out of pain. Go to relieffactor.com, relieffactor.com, or call 800-500-8384, relieffactor.com, 800-500-8384. I use it. It works. Check it out.
Folks, I told you that I would get Mike Lindell. Well, people said, Eric, I don't think you have the juice. You can't get the big guns like Lindell. We don't believe it. We'll see it. We'll believe it when we see it. Well, folks, here he is, Mike Lindell. Mike, is this really you or is this a cardboard facsimile?
Hold on.
He's got. Yeah.
It's me. It's me, guys.
Well, listen, it's great to see you. You're just an encouragement. Your personality is, by definition, you're just an encouraging person. I want to thank you on behalf of the United States of America and lovers of freedom everywhere for the work that you've been doing tirelessly and at gigantic cost to yourself. I keep telling people, I don't care if you need pillows or sheets or whatever it is, go to mypillow.com, use the code Eric, buy stuff for your neighbors, for the homeless shelter. And Mike, now, because we just got them in the mail, you have invented new slippers, not a joke. My slippers that are available at mypillow.com.
Eric, those are amazing because that was 2 years in the making, and it's like having a comfortable shoe instead of just a slipper. You run out to the edge of the road and grab your newspaper. Here you can wear them all day. The inside is what I'm really proud of. It's called Impact Gel. It's made out of U.S. soybeans. And you can literally put it over your hand, hit yourself with a hammer. The guy that showed me it, he's going, and it doesn't even hurt. You know, it's going. So you get this amazing, and that combined with the MyPillow patented fill in a solid form, you combine all these things here. The one thing I do want to tell people, they are not put together here. We don't have the technology yet. So we do ship all the U.S. parts over to Cambodia and ship them back again. Just okay. So everybody knows that.
But the soybeans are guaranteed grown on U.S. soil.
Yes.
That's all I care about. Where are the soybeans growing? Well, Mike, and by the way, I want to say to people, don't do that thing where you hit yourself with the hammer. Just don't do it, okay?
Right.
But just take Mike's word for it. Well, listen, Mike, you've been doing so many different things. I want to start out. Let's start out on the most shallow thing of all, a fun movie called Church People. Let's talk about that.
Yeah, that was 5 years in the making. It was back in 2014, and I was actually with my friend Stephen Baldwin. We're driving through New York, and I said, Stephen, if you ever get a chance, I'd like to come on one of your movie sets because I'm going to write a book someday, and I want to make a movie from it. I want to learn about the industry. And he says, well, I'll do you one better, brother. Let's go make a movie. And these guys brought us this script. It's a Christian comedy called Church People. And we filmed a couple years ago. And now for the perfect timing, once again, like when I was involved with Unplanned, it's perfect timing before Easter, has a great message, getting people back to the churches, getting back to the gospel. But it's a very funny movie. A lot of great actors. I got a cameo in it. And that was my first cameo, Eric. I'm actually standing up. We're out in Hollywood filming. And I'm standing up and I'm all nervous. This is a couple of years ago. And there's 300 extras and I got my pack on my back. And all of a sudden I stand up and the whole scene shot. The pack falls off and the microphone rips out of my thing. I'm going, cut, cut. And they go, you can't yell cut. I didn't know.
Who do you think you are? You're a CEO. You're used to saying cut and people cut. That's hilarious. Now you're not driving a bulldozer in this film. I'm disappointed.
Right.
I think you need to appear. You need to have it in your contract that if I make a cameo, it has to be in a bulldozer or some kind of hydraulic equipment.
Right on. Yeah.
Church People.
It was a lot of fun, and it's everyone's going to love it right now. And you guys at Salem are covering it.
I was just going to say people can go to Salem now. Go to salemnow.com and use the code Eric. You get 20% off. But if you go to mypillow.com or mystore.com, you get way more than 20% off. Mike, seriously, I want all my books at mystore.com because most of my books are at mystore.com, but I want all my books to be there because I don't want to have to tell people, oh, you have to go to Amazon or something like that. And one thing that is happening right now as a result of the ugliness in our country, people are doing all kinds of great things. You, my friend, are creating a social media platform. I think the president, Trump, is creating a social media platform. All kinds of things are happening. Tell us about that.
Right. Well, mine's going to be called Frank, and it comes out. It's an expression of free speech. You know, my counter lawsuit against a certain machine manufacturer.
Hey, on this program, you can talk about anything. We're putting it on Rumble. You talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Well, we're countersuing Dominion for, and I got Alan Dershowitz involved with my whole team of lawyers. And he said, Mike, this will be the biggest lawsuit, most important in history for free speech, for the First Amendment.
Dershowitz.
Yeah, Dershowitz. He said this is so important to the world. This lawsuit, because what they've done, if they've suppressed free speech, there's two things going on, Eric. You have all the news, the news, the mainstream media, like, oh, Fox gets sued, so you can't go on there and say the word Dominion. I mean, all these things. They used lawsuits. They have over 200 lawsuits and cease and desist against everyone in this country. And they put them all out there. And I've said it before. It's kind of like if people were saying there's rocks and knives in my pillows, I would show the world and say, hey, there's no rocks or knives in my pillows. They're nice patented fill. But Dominion doesn't do that. They take the other approach because they know there's rocks and knives in their machines, right? So we have these countersuits. But in the meantime, what it's done is outlets are afraid to say the swear words, Dominion, the vaccine is mark of the beast, the borders are letting people
in. This is a simple issue of free speech. I just want to tell my listeners, folks, it's not even about right and wrong. It's about freedom. You can say things that are wrong. You have the freedom to say things that are wrong. You have the freedom to say whatever you like. We need to understand that we can't have a group of people deciding what is right, what is permissible. In a free country, we the people get to decide. And the idea that anybody, any corporation or whatever is trying to squelch people with lawsuits, and then you've got the cancel culture. Mike, on this program, nearly every day, I tell people, do not shop in the stores that have canceled Mike Lindell. Write them an email and tell them I will not shop there because you're part of the cancel culture. We've just got a few seconds left. Can you mention some of those box stores that have canceled you?
We have Kohl's, Bed Bath & Beyond, HEB, Sam's Club. You've got the list goes on and on. Colburn's. There's over 22 of them now.
Okay, well, you've just mentioned a bunch. I want to say to my viewers and my listeners, please, not only don't shop in those stores, including HEB, which is supposed to be a Christian-led business, send them an email and tell them this is unacceptable in America. And unless you change this, we will not shop in your store. And we're telling our friends not to shop there. We're going to be right back. I'm talking to Mike Lindell. Hey there, folks. A quick break to tell you. We've got more Mike Lindell, Michelle Bachmann. Do us a favor. Share these videos. If you're not on my email list, you got to get on my email list. We send the videos right to you. We're putting them on Rumble. If we can put them on YouTube, we would. But Michelle Bachmann and Mike Lindell are not the kinds of things we can put on YouTube anymore because YouTube has gone full on Marxist. Not that there's anything wrong with that. Who are we to judge? So what if you're communist?
I have a lot of toys, a lot of Marx Brothers toys from the 60s.
Different Marx, different Marxist. Yeah. Okay. The thing that I want to say is that we're kicked off of YouTube, so we can't even post anything on YouTube. We're going to be posting everything on YouTube as soon as they let us out of YouTube jail. Isn't that sweet of them to put us in jail to teach us a lesson that we should not say things in the United States of America that might be true? Isn't that sweet of the folks?
You can't even say that you can't say things like that in America. Of course you can.
You're exactly right. We're not. Okay, before we go to a break, I want to remind people, actually, we've got an audio that I'd like to play. So first of all, share all our stuff. Go to mypillow.com, mystore.com. Use the code Eric. But we're doing a nonprofit fundraiser, Food for the Poor, every year. In fact, we're entering the final days. We're way behind folks for some reason to help them. They're helping kids in Central America, mostly in the Honduras. In Honduras. And I'm humbled by those of you who have given. I want to say thank you and God bless you for doing that. If you haven't done that, go to metaxastalk.com, click on the Food for the Poor banner. It's not the size of your gift, folks. It's just that you show your care by giving anything. We put you in our a grand prize drawing, whatever you give. So don't worry about, you say, I can only give this. We don't care, whatever you can give, this is an important thing. So I wanted to play a voicemail. We've got the audio, a teenager named Sarah. Here's her voicemail.
I really admire your work with Food for the Poor each year. And I'm 16 years old. I live at home, so I don't really make a whole lot of money. But I have an envelope that I keep on my nightstand, and each time I do get some money, I put a little bit away. It's for Food for the Poor. This year, I saved up $80 to give, and I'm not saying any of this to brag. I just wanted to encourage your listeners who probably make more money than I do. And if you can just spare a little bit, that would be good. Bye.
Sarah, I know you're 16. I know you have no money, but couldn't you bring it up to 100? Come on. Just kidding. Folks, did you hear what I just heard? Yeah. A 16-year-old has been saving money. She's giving $80. Honestly, I didn't think it would be that much. That's a lot of money for a 16-year-old.
Yeah.
It's really sweet when we just give what we can, folks. So please follow her incredible example. Give just a little, whatever you can give. It doesn't need to be $80. It can be $8. It can be $18. Whatever you can give. The point is to give something. She babysits. She saved up that money. That's kind of an amazing thing. Now, $37 will feed a kid for 6 months. That is what Food for the Poor is able to do with our money. It's why I personally give to Food for the Poor. I, Eric Metaxas. It's very important that we all just find some places where we can give something, knowing that it's doing good. Feeding the poor, feeding the hungry. Imagine. If you want to call, it's 844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE, 844-863-HOPE.
Hope.
MetaxasTalk.com. Hope. 844-863-HOPE. Or go to MetaxasTalk.com, click on the Food for the Poor banner. It's important that we have a place where we can say, I know that if I give a little bit there, they can help a tremendous amount. They're doing a lot with the money. I want to remind you folks that $37 feeds a kid for 6 months, $370 feeds 10 kids for 6 months. And I want to throw it out there again, if anybody wants to, maybe there are 10 people in Texas and they say, I'm going to give $1,000. You can pool your money and give $10,000, 10 of you, and we can all have dinner the next time I come to Dallas or whatever it is. We can have a big party. We can have 20 people. I don't care. You're responsible for the dinner. I'm just going to give you my time. It's a privilege, folks. Go to MetaxasTalk.com. We'll be right back.